You've started a few nonprofits in Tulsa. The Tulsa Center for the Physically Limited.
Yes, that was the first one.
How did that come about?
As I told you, I'd never done anything with Jewish people, and they asked me to be president of the Council of Jewish Women. The council's mission was really the same as the Junior League's, to find an unmet need and fulfill it. And I thought, I ought to do this. Once I started teaching at TU, our friends became TU people, and I didn't have to cope with being with a lot of people I didn't have much in common with, and I wasn't a Zionist. That was terrible. So I said yes. They were in real trouble. They didn't have any leadership coming up. And I wanted to start a project. Dorothy Whitebook was a member of the council board. She was going to San Francisco. I said, see if there's anything there that we should be copying here. She found this Center for Physically Limited and said, this is the project. Well, it was so welcomed. Cerebral palsy, polio. Hillcrest gave us space. For years, council had done volunteers to the mental health areas of Hillcrest. So they were willing to give us space, and we opened it in the Hillcrest basement. I had never been very good with handicapped people because I was taught to just look away. And the opening night, I was standing there, and someone came tottering down the ramp and fell in my arms, and I got over it. It was a man named Sam Stewart, and I'll never forget what he said. We were talking later, bad cerebral palsy, and he said, we all have handicaps. It's just that on some of us they show.
Where did you find the funding for the center?
The council. We didn't the have community? To pay Hillcrest any rent, and council paid for the staff. Council of Jewish Women. It was a very interesting project because we had to get people to come, and most people were hiding. I got a list of where there were people. No, we don't have anyone like that.
Physically limited, you mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you had to look for them and bring them out.
Mm-hmm. And that was interesting in and of itself. And I used some of my students at TU for that.
Oh, I wonder how you'd find people like that.
Well, I had the list from cerebral palsy, and they knew who, but the families were not admitting it. And of course, what it did was it released the families so much.
So they had some place to take them to during the day.
Well, it opened at night, too.
They didn't stay there. I mean, they came from their homes.
Our first employee was a very well-trained physical therapist, but she had no feeling for the people. It was physical therapy for her. With the help of my board, I let her go, and a group of us interviewed and found Aline Murdoch, who had gone to school with Raymond and who was a Cub Scout leader and a warm, delightful, totally capable woman. She just made it warm and a place where everybody wanted to go.
And that center is open today.
Yes, and Laurie King, who's running it, is terrific.
You were also involved with the Tulsa Global Alliance.
Yes. That came through a close friend of mine, one of my five funny freaks, who was living in Manhattan, Kansas. Her husband was teaching at Kansas State. And Bonnie called me up and said that she belonged to this organization, and would we accept foreign guests to visit us? We had our three-room apartment. I called it the three-room deficiency. We had a bed in one corner and a couch. And we began having guests. You know, we were the generation. Ordinarily, I would have gone overseas sometime during college, but it was wartime, so we didn't have that experience. And it was fascinating to be able to talk with people and have them stay with us and exchange ideas. The organization that we were with had us talk about peace for at least an hour in every visit.
So they'd come from other countries here. They would just come and live.
And then I got it where the camp counselors from other countries would come and would have a busload, and I would arrange for their stays in Tulsa. I'd call 30 friends and say, we've got all these people coming.
And they'd stay in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the function of the Global Alliance.
Well, that was the first function. And that was tremendously successful. People really loved it. The kids loved it. I remember one time someone stayed at the Tandys. The Tandys used to like having them. They said, we're staying at real American millionaires. I told Mary Lou, and she said, tell them, yeah, we're...
It's a cultural exchange.
It was a cultural exchange. Yeah. And we had many adventures with it. The nicest one I ever remember was we had a pool at our other house, and we had tumble tubs that you had to try to sit in, and you were always falling out of them. And this Polish man, a very stiff communist guy, kept falling out, and he'd drinking more and falling out. And he said, to hell with communism! Up with capitalism!
Oh, funny. It was worth it to hear that, wasn't it?
It was. The one that wasn't so worth it was to walk into our son's room with a Swedish girl on his bed. And he was about to peel.
What was her intent there?
Well, it seemed pretty clear.
I see. So he ran out.
I stayed in there.